I just personally feel like the idea self-made in general is one that's a bit prickly for me. And maybe it's just because I feel so indebted to my parents and my grandparents and my sisters and my aunts and uncles and all of these people who helped me get where I am. I have trouble ever thinking that I would get up on any stage or write in any book or whatever. I am a self-made success, you know.
Hello, and welcome to Wind Down, Build Up, the podcast giving you the tea and the tools to succeed in business. I'm Tabitha Solomon.
And I'm KJ Miller. Today on the show, we're dissecting the myth of the self-made billionaire. It's a term people love throwing around, self-made billionaire. But my question is, does it really exist? And should billionaires exist at all?
This should make for a healthy debate.
Yes, it should. Because I know you and I sort of sit on opposite ends of this particular debate. I mean, anti-billionaire is strong, but I do feel like billionaires are much more the sort of symptom of a corrupt and unjust economic society than they are just like the reality of hard work, you know. Like that's where I tend to lean, and I know you tend to lean a different way. So I think it'll be an interesting discussion.
Absolutely. Well, before we jump in, we'll love for you to pause just for a moment and make sure that you're following us on Spotify. And if you're a listener on Apple Podcasts, please give us a 5-star review. It does a ton to boost us in the algorithm.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's dive in. And for the tea this week, I was thinking we could talk a little bit about the viral AOC video going around where she talks about billionaires. So she was at an MLK Day event speaking with Ta-Nehisi Coates, and the idea of billionaires comes up. And she essentially makes the case that billionaires shouldn't exist, and that billionaires, you know, did not get to where they are because they did all of this hard work. They got to where they are based on the work of others. And that is why, you know, you don't make $1 billion, you take $1 billion, to use her words. So I thought we could start there. I'm actually going to play the clip. I'm going to pick up. This is right after Ta-Nehisi Coates says, you know, why, if I'm someone who makes some widgets, some really great widgets, and I sell them for a profit and everyone loves them, and I make $1 billion, why is that wrong? Why is that bad? And so this is what AOC answers to that.
You didn't make those widgets, did you? Because you employ thousands of people and pay them less than a living wage to make those widgets for you. You didn't make those widgets. You sat on a couch while thousands of people were paid modern day slave wages, and in some cases real modern day slavery, depending on where you are in terms of food production. You made that money off the backs of undocumented people. You made that money off of the backs of Black and brown people being paid off a living wage, under a living wage. You made that money off of the backs of single mothers. And all of these people who are literally dying because they can't afford to live. And so no one ever makes $1 billion. You take $1 billion.
So hopefully that audio came through. Were you able to hear that, Tabitha?
I was.
So, you know, my question to you is just, how do you feel about that? AOC obviously can be a very polarizing figure. Certainly that audience that day, what she said resonated with them, and it resonated with me. But, you know, what is your take on that?
So I think the statement, there should be no billionaires, is very extreme, and I completely disagree with it. I think that if someone creates an ingenious product that possibly impacts our world. Let's say Google, as an example, gives us access to information. So whether you're sitting in an ivory tower or you're sitting in a hut in Haiti, you have access to the same information online, democratizing information. Like, if you provide that type of value in the world that goes on to change like everyone's life, there should be a reward for it. Now, what I think AOC really should be fighting for, what we all should be fighting for, is for increased wages, right? And protection for those who are on the bottom of the totem pole. We should be fighting for healthcare. We should be fighting for housing. Yes, all those things are really important in our society. And I do think that we can tax the super rich to help some of these things come to fruition. But to say that you shouldn't be a billionaire really reduces the motivation and incentive for people to come up with technology and innovation that goes on to, again, revolutionize our world. And that's really what we want to foster. That's why you see capitalist countries like America are the ones spurring innovation. You don't see socialist countries like Cuba doing that, right? Like, I've been to Cuba. It's a beautiful country, amazing culture, but they're stuck in the 60s. There's no innovation happening there because they're relying on their government. Versus here, when there's monetary incentives to innovate, you see innovation. So I think she's too extreme in her point of view when it comes to no billionaires. But I do agree that as a society, we need to make sure that we're taking care of the whole.
So I would say, in regards to AOC's point, I think she would argue, look, in a society where wages are fair and where everyone is paid a living wage, everyone has access to healthcare, everyone has access to either affordable or free childcare, everyone's access to public goods is equal. So not just if I live in the good neighborhood, I get the good library that actually is stocked with books. And if I live in the bad neighborhood, I have the shitty library where I can't actually read anything of note. But everyone has equal access to the same public goods, so on and so forth. That society is a society that really isn't amenable to billionaires, because in order for us to live in that society, billionaires, the income that they're making is income that would be flowing to the public, not flowing and being concentrated in the hands of such a small group of people. And so I think she would say it's, I mean, she is, right? She is on the front lines arguing for a higher wage, and for, you know, the super wealthy to be taxed at much higher levels. She is fighting that fight. And I think she's also saying the only way we actually get to that fight, we actually get to that place, is by making sure we essentially don't have billionaires, because they are the symptom of a corrupt economy. And I think her point about you didn't make those widgets is one that that does resonate with me. You know, when you think about like what it actually takes to be a billionaire, and there are a lot of people who sort of like put this a lot of different ways, but one statistic that floats around is that if you made $5,000 a day, every single day, starting in 1492, when Columbus arrived in America, you'd still have less money than Jeff Bezos today. $5,000 a day, okay, for hundreds and hundreds of years, you'd still have less money than Jeff Bezos. So the question becomes, what sort of work, hard work, ingenious work, could you possibly do to justify that level of wealth? It's just such an unfathomable level of wealth, and one that goes so far beyond inspiring innovation. Like, what do you even do with all of that wealth? You know, like, if that's what you need to inspire you to innovate something or make something new, a level of wealth that you can't even spend in 30 lifetimes, much less one, it just sort of doesn't make sense. And so this idea resonates with me.
I guess my question is, what is the appropriate tax rate? Because I think what we do agree is that the super rich should get taxed higher. So, you know, before our conversation, I did do a little bit of research on our on the different income tax brackets. And if you make, it's a sliding scale in the U.S., as you know, and if you make over $518,000, you pay $37,000, 37% taxes on that. Where I have an issue is if you make $1 billion, you're still paying 37%. And if you're making $100 billion, you're still paying 37%. And so it feels unfair that if you're making $0 to $9,875, you're paying 10% and gradually increases and then abruptly stops. To me, it feels like it's an incomplete scale, right? It doesn't continue to increase. So, but I do believe that even if you were to increase that, with the amount of value of the company Amazon in particular, like Jeff Bezos will still be a billionaire, right? So like, throw out a hypothetical number. What percentage do you think would be appropriate for Jeff Bezos to pay in taxes where, you know, people would feel like, oh, he's paying his fair share? What's the percentage if you had to throw out a number?
Well, I won't do that, but I will say, because I don't want to give, I didn't do any calculations before this, so I'm not going to throw out a number, but.
Well, let me throw one out then. So Jeff Bezos' net worth is $184 billion. So if he paid 90% in taxes, which is crazy, never been that high in our country's history, he would still have $18 billion,
right? Yeah, but Lynnell, let me say this. Mm-hmm. What I was going to respond mm-hmm. was Amazon in 2018 didn't pay anything in corporate taxes, and that's mm-hmm. part of the reason Jeff Bezos has the wealth that he has. He's running a corporation where his employees are being run ragged, literally wearing diapers on the factory floor so that they don't take too much time off going to the bathroom. But his company paid in 2018 $0 in federal taxes. Meanwhile, right, much smaller companies making much less money and whose owners and founders are not billionaires are paying hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars in taxes, and they are contributing to the greater good. So Amazon, yeah, okay, it's a great company, but how much does he benefit from the fact that all of us pay a lot in taxes? He has to drive on these roads, right? These roads are built with our taxes. The only way I'm getting these Amazon packages is because these trucks are driving up and through these roads that my tax dollars are paying for, but his corporation doesn't have to contribute to that tax money. That's insane. And that's part of the reason he has the wealth he has. So again, to me, it comes back to, he's not a billionaire simply because he had a great idea. He's a billionaire because he is profiting off of so many people who aren't being paid a fair wage. And he's profiting off of these tax loopholes that allow his company not to pay taxes so that they can just continue to enrich him and line his pockets. And that level of inequality, I mean, it's just not sustainable.
Well, let's say two things. One is Amazon actually pays a minimum wage of $15 to the employees. So that's double the federal minimum required. So he is paying his employee a fair wage. And then when you think about the tax loopholes, like, he didn't create those tax laws. He's just taking advantage of it.
Right. So, this isn't an argument about whether or not Jeff Bezos is a good person. This is an argument about whether or not our country should have billionaires. So him taking advantage of tax mm-hmm. loopholes, that fault lies with our government and the tax loopholes for sure. But that is still, that is still a marker of, or one in the cap of, we shouldn't have billionaires, because part of the reason we do is because we have these unfair laws. And also, I would dispute that $15 is a fair living wage if what you're being asked to do for that $15 an hour is unsustainable. Just because you're paying me $15 an hour doesn't mean that I shouldn't be able to do my basic human functions, right? So is it actually livable? I would dispute that.
But, you know, I don't think, you know, fair working conditions, I think that's a separate conversation than if he should be allowed to be a billionaire. That's the thing. I feel like they tend to get conflated together. Yes, like when I've read the articles about people not being able to use the restrooms, like, that is absolutely ridiculous and absurd and should not be allowed. There should be protection in place for employees. But I don't think that is the same thing as him being able to build a company at the valuation that, you know, build a company that's worth billions of dollars. And if you just think about the values brought into the world, like during the pandemic, people couldn't leave their houses. So old people couldn't go to the grocery stores, and Instacart and Amazon were the ones bringing food to these people when we did not have access to schools and kids had to learn, you know, at home because you're stuck and doing on Zoom. Like, it was Zoom that allowed schools to continue. So like, technology is bringing like exponential value into our lives. And so the market is going to essentially reflect who and what's bringing us value. I think that these companies are bringing us so much value. That's why we've been okay with it. I think the thing that we probably do agree on is that the super rich should pay more in taxes. But I don't know if they'd be like, well, you've paid 90% of tax. So in an example, if Jeff Bezos paid 90% in his taxes, which would be absurd, and I think absolutely unfair, would never advocate for that. And he has fair conditions, and you know, his company was paying taxes because all these loopholes were closed, and he was still a billionaire. Like, if those things were happening, like, I don't think that we would still be pushing back on whether he should be a billionaire or not, because he's adding so much value in our world.
Well, I will say this. Let me respond to a couple of your points.
Yes,
the first is fair working conditions. 100,000% is related to whether or not Jeff Bezos should be a billionaire, because part of the reason his company has the value it has is because he is pushing to get so many packages out of the door every hour, every day, every week, every year. And that's what he judges his people on. That's why these people aren't able to take the number of breaks that they need to meet their basic human function bodily needs, right? It's not because they just love working at Amazon so much. It is because he is driving that metric. And that metric is driven by the profits that he has said he's going to get in a year, the number of packages he's going to get out, the 2-day promise that he makes to his Prime members that keeps people signing up. All of that is related. So 100% that is related to the fact that he is a billionaire, the fact that he has these unfair working conditions. And if he actually had fair working conditions, that means there'd be less money flowing to his bottom line, because he would, instead of getting people to pump out, you know, 1,000 packages in their 8-hour shift, they would be pumping out more like 600 packages in their 8-hour shift. And that would have to come from somewhere. It would come from the bottom line, but it would mean that he was treating his workers fairly, right? But that's a hit he's not willing to take. He's made that clear in terms of the working conditions. He's also made it clear what these workers aren't allowed to do is organize in any sort of faction so that they can start to speak up for themselves and fight for better working conditions. Every time someone has attempted to do that, they've been let go, they've been fired, even though we have laws against firing people for attempting to organize. So for sure, those things are related. But the second thing I will say and just respond to is, I think we do agree that if we lived in a world where people were paying, the rich were paying their fair share in taxes, corporations were paying their fair share in taxes, income inequality wasn't at the staggering rate that it's at now. I mean, three billionaires, Bill Gates, Bezos, and Buffett, collectively have more wealth than the bottom 160 million Americans. There's just no world where that makes any sense, right? So if income inequality weren't as staggering as it were, if people had access to healthcare, all of these things, if all of those things were true, and in that world, billionaires still existed, I could get behind billionaires. But I think the argument that most people and a lot of economists would make is that that's not a world that can exist. Those two things are diametrically opposed to each other. You can't concentrate the level of wealth that you'd have to concentrate to have multiple billionaires in our society and still have the level of equality and justice that we're working towards. Those two things just don't make sense together, I think, is what a lot of people would argue. But yes, in this utopian world, if we had people being taxed at a fair rate and everyone had fair working and living conditions, and then still there were billionaires, I would be okay with billionaires. I'm just very skeptical that that world can exist.
Yeah, no, I understand. I just feel like these people are just bringing so much value into our world. So to penalize them, you know, or to reduce incentive, I think might be problematic to our advancement as a human society. And I would ask, like, you know, would you just hypothetically, not you in particular, but us generally, would we be okay in a world where there was no iPhones, no laptops, no Google search, no Amazon? Would our lives be better off by us taxing these people like 90%+ to try to create equality? And I think that is also a controversial point of view, because I think most of us might be like, we want equality, but we still want all these things. And most of these entrepreneurs will work day and night and try to get their business off the ground and build these teams and go through the hell that it is to build a large conglomerate, because there is a reward at the end of it. And so for me, when I think about, like, is it bad to have billionaires, or should billionaires not exist? I think I would then ask, are we okay with these products not existing? And I think most of us would say no. Like, we want these products in our lives. We rely on them. They're an important part of just our advancement as a society and our convenience in our lives. So my thought is, yes, billionaires need to pay their fair tax. But we just need to be careful about reducing incentive in such a way that we no longer become the leading innovator in the world.
And I guess to that, I would say, I don't think that that is a fair choice. Would I rather not have billionaires, or would I rather keep my iPhone? Because I think it presumes that the only way we get to the iPhone is by having the incentive of billionaire status sort of like waving around as a possibility. And I just don't think that that's true. I think some of the largest innovations, if we actually think about innovation beyond, like, can I, you know, I message my homegirl and ship my products to myself in 2 days. But when we think about, like, GPS, that came from the military. When we think about the internet, that was publicly funded. When we think about NASA and getting this rover to Mars, fully government publicly funded, and staffed with people who went to good schools, who got good scholarships, all of which is funded, not all of which, but a lot of which is funded, again, publicly. And so innovation doesn't end because there isn't some billionaire, you know, carrot being waved at you. I don't think. I think, and again, if you just think about how much money is wrapped up in $1 billion or multiple billions of dollars, it's more money than most people can spend in multiple lifetimes. And so the idea that that is such an incentive, like, I did not start Minted because my plan was to make $1 billion, right? Like, I mean, if it happened, okay. But that's that's the thing that's getting me out of bed in the morning. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of people do the things that they do because they want to make the world a better place, even if it's just their corner of the world. It's not because they're thinking there's this $1 billion carrot at the end of this road. And so I don't think the question has to be, oh, do you want to get rid of billionaires or do you want an iPhone? I think with or without $1 billion, we'd have smartphones right now. I absolutely believe that. I don't think it's tied to the fact that, you know, helping to create the iPhone made Steve Jobs a billionaire. I just don't believe that.
I think the point I was trying to make is, you know, we agree that the super rich need to get taxed, but what is the limit, right? Like, what is the amount where people would feel comfortable and not say, like, essentially make it seem like the rich are greedy and evil people? You know, I think that when I said that, you know, the rich getting taxed, I do think there should be a financial incentive at the end, and it doesn't have to be a billion, but if you tax someone 99%, you know, who's going to want to work so hard for that 1% leftover crumbs, right? I think there does need to be financial incentive. It may not be the B billionaire, but there needs to be something lofty for people to aspire to, is essentially what I was getting at.
Well, and I can agree with that. I don't think people shouldn't be able to be wealthy. And I don't think people shouldn't be able to be wealthier than others, right? Like, I don't want to live in a communist society where it's sort of all decided these people will make this much and these people will make this much. That's not what I'm advocating for. I don't have a problem with wealth. I do have a problem when not everyone has the same access to wealth, but I don't have a problem with wealth. It's more that I don't think that the ability to be a billionaire is what drives innovation. I don't think that those two things are necessarily linked, because I think we've seen many, many, many examples of innovation outside of private, you know, tech guys making their billions of dollars.
Yeah, I mean, we have, but I think about like modern day, like even a lot of billionaires, there's this this giving pledge, I believe Warren Buffett or Bill Gates started it, where they're essentially asking billionaires to donate a significant portion of their wealth to philanthropy. And about 208 billionaires, or excuse me, 219 billionaires have pledged. And so, like, when you look at Bill Gates and Melinda, they are trying to eradicate polio from the face of the earth. Like, the governments have not done that, you know? Like, and the list goes on and on about the different things. Like, when it comes to climate change, we're so, like, wishy-washy, not doing a lot of stuff. And then now you have Bezos like, you know what, like, I'm going to go ahead and step down and I'm going to dedicate my life to trying to solve this particular problem. And so I just bring that up to say that, yes, the government plays a part, but a lot of the biggest innovation, whether it is with technology, healthcare, philanthropy, just solving some of the world's biggest problems, like, it's the billionaires who are stepping up with their personal wealth to try to fix it. So I just want to be careful, because I find, and this is probably why I tend to, you know, help kind of like promote and stand on the side of this argument about the billionaire. And it's not for the case of the B and the billionaire. It's really what billionaire stands for is like wealth. And I feel like people try to demonize wealth so many times. It's like, if you're rich, if you're wealthy, you are evil. And there sometimes feels like this moral superiority if you're fighting for the small guy. And my thing is, like, that entrepreneur, you know, in the case of Amazon, they're employing 600,000 people. You know, I know people personally who, like, I love working for Amazon. Like, it's what keeps a roof over my head and food on our table. You know, I have stock options that's really changed my life, etc. And so I think that's why I advocate for that. It's not the B and the billionaire that I'm advocating for. It's this idea that it's not bad to be wealthy and to have a carrot at the end, which can sometimes be money, is what oftentimes spurs innovation in our economy.
Well, I guess to that, I would say, agreed. I don't want to demonize wealth, but I think the reason the conversation around billionaires specifically matters is because being a billionaire in our country right now, today, when we have the level of income inequality that we have, is unjust. You did not make your billions of dollars on the strength of yourself. No, none of these billionaires did. And so what we have to ask is, are we okay with the fact that a Bezos has these hundreds of billions of dollars, but his, not only his blue collar factory workers can't leave to use the bathroom and can't organize, but his white collar workers in headquarters are crying every day in the hallways. I know plenty of people who work for Amazon and have left Amazon and hated the experience because of the environment and the culture that they drove. And so are we okay with that? Are we okay with the fact that, you know, there are people at Amazon working and again, at headquarters, so white collar, you know, making $200,000 or whatever it might be, working day and night, right? 20 hours a day. But Bezos is talking about, I answer 3 emails a day. I think about 3 things a day. But this man is making billions and billions of dollars. We think that's just, we think that's right. We think that's the sign of a functioning economy. I don't. I can't believe that. I don't have a problem with wealth, but I do have a problem with toxic wealth. And I think that's what billionaires currently represent. When we have people who literally can't get food on the table, you know, are dying of diarrhea because they don't have clean water. We have people in America, in Flint, who still don't have clean water, but Bezos has $180 billion. No way. I can't wrap my mind around that making sense.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, I know you also had this idea of talking about self-made billionaires and the notion around, is that a thing?
Well, you know, and for me, I just think the idea of self-made is, a bit farcical. Because if you look at not only...
Farcical, that's a big word.
If you look at the billionaires, the Bezoses and Zuckerbergs and Bill Gateses of the world, like, they didn't build their billionaire status, their workers did, and the government technology that they are accessing did, and all of those things. And even the more recent billionaire, so Whitney Wolf Heard, give her her props, right? She's the founder of Bumble. She just took that company public. Mm-hmm. That is a lot of work, and she went through a really tumultuous time at Tinder. I will give her her props, but she comes from a very wealthy family and a very fancy pedigree. So the idea that even her wealth and her billionaire status is quote unquote self-made, again, I do think is a bit farcical. Like, I think a lot of people worked to get her where she is so that she could have the opportunities that she has. Same with Kylie Jenner. She was pronounced youngest self-made billionaire, but she came from an incredibly wealthy and famous family, right? So, like, I just think, I don't know. I just, what do people even mean? I know what they mean. When they say self-made, they mean, like, this person didn't inherit these billions of dollars. And okay, fine, they didn't inherit them, but they also didn't, like, start from the bottom. Now they're here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't know. What do you think?
So while you were talking, I did a quick Google search, simply define self-made. And what became clear is it really does matter on how you define self-made. So if you're looking at Oxford Dictionary, it says, having become successful or rich by one's own efforts. And I think you could argue, you know, it was Kylie's face, Kylie's idea to do makeup, Kylie's social media presence, her constant posting that, like, led to her building an empire. Did she have some help around her? You know, like her family, her notoriety, etc. Yeah. But if she didn't do all the extra stuff, she wouldn't have made that money, right? Because she didn't just inherit, like you said, $1 billion. Now, there's a different definition, though, by Collins Dictionary. And it says, self-made is used to describe people who have become successful and rich through their own efforts, especially if they started life without money, education, or high social status. Which is really interesting because if you look at that definition, you wouldn't consider Kylie self-made, right? Because she had money, you know, she had high social status. She had essentially all the makings. She had all the ingredients essentially to make this happen. It was just up to her to, like, execute. So this one's a little trickier for me after looking at the definition. I tend to think of self-made, someone like Madam C.J. Walker, who we talked about a few episodes ago. You know, she was an orphan as a kid. She was a mom by 17. She was divorced, so a single parent in, like, 1920s. Like, all, she was a Black woman in the 1920s, and she overcame all those obstacles, and no one could take it away from her. Like, she did that on her own. Obviously, she had a tribe. She hired amazing women to also sell her products. Her husband at one point helped her with her advertising strategy. So she did, you know, she got mentored by people. So she had people who helped develop her and help her move along, right? So she had a tribe of people who helped her get to her, who helped her amass her success. But if you just take a look at where she started, right? No money, no education, no high social status. She's the epitome of what I think of when I think about a self-made millionaire.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, so I agree with that. I definitely consider Madam C.J. Walker much more self-made than a Kylie Jenner or a Whitney Wolf Heard. But I think also, I just personally feel like the idea self-made in general is one that's a bit prickly for me. And maybe it's just because I feel so indebted to my parents and my grandparents and my sisters and my aunts and uncles and all of these people who helped me get where I am. I have trouble ever thinking that I would get up on any stage or write in any book or whatever I am a self-made success, you know, like mm-hmm. when I know yeah. how many people worked so hard and not just worked, but prayed and sacrificed, like to yeah. get me where I am. I think like I find the idea of being self-made in general, one that I don't love, but I particularly don't love it when we apply it to billionaires, because nobody makes $1 billion on their own. Okay. Nobody nowhere at no time has ever made $1 billion on their own. So that to me is particularly like, I can't get behind it.
Well, cheers is something we agree on this episode.
Yes. Cheers to that. And cheers to you for being a good sport. I know I threw this at you last minute and said, hey, let's have a debate for the episode.
Were you on the debate team?
I was. Yes.
I knew it. This is so unfair.
I not only was I on the debate team in high school, but I went to nationals. I was a state champion.
Oh, my God. So I... Hey guys, anyone who's listening to this, you see what I was up against? I was up against the Muhammad Ali of debate. Okay, like what?
I do love a good debate, but I love a good debate with a good opponent, which is what you are. You came prepared. You Aww, had your facts, you had your figures, and I think you stated your case very well. You know, I don't disagree with the idea that wealth should be an incentive in our country. 100%, I agree with you on that. I think it's just the billionaire piece that I get hung up on. But yeah, I appreciate you for being willing to do this debate for the podcast.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, friends, that's it for this week. If you're loving this show, please stop right now. Make sure you're subscribed and you've given us a 5-star rating. And most importantly, tell a friend.
Yes. And if you have a topic you'd love us to dive into, or you're interested in sponsorship opportunities, just send us an email at winddownbuildup@gmail.com. Thanks for listening and see you next week. Cheers.